This is the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number three of the Greg Peterson Experience, and for those of you guys that are out here on the Pacific time zone, a happy Saturday for you. Now that everyone is experiencing a Saturday, everyone is now experiencing a college football Saturday. So we're going to be going hard and heavy on the college football betting board here for much of the hour. We're going to be sprinkling in there some college basketball as well, while giving out my pick for the New York Post in college basketball a little bit earlier in the show. So I'll give you guys a little bit of a refresh on that. Just take a look at some games that are a little bit more off the beaten path in college basketball. So we're going to be having some fun with that. But how about if we start with the big one on this college football Saturday? It is going to be starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. So it is in that very early window. You've got the Ohio State University facing off against Michigan. And we've seen quite a bit of line movement when it comes to this game. It wound up opening up in a lot of places right around between 6 and 7-ish, depending on your book. It winds up coming in with Ohio State actually being more like an 8-point favorite about 24 hours ago, and now we're finding it between a 7 and a 7.5, depending on where you're looking and your total on this game. It has come down a little bit. Opener was 64. You're now getting it anywhere between 64 and 64.5, and I do think that there is some value here on Michigan. Now, I liked it a whole heck of a lot better when it was 8 rather than if it was 7 and 7.5. And if you like Michigan, much like I do, you want to be doing everything humanly possible to be making sure that you're getting that hook. I do think that it could wind up coming into play in this, but you've got pretty much a battle of two teams that are polar opposites, even though they have partaken in this rivalry time and time again. You've got an Ohio State team that they're looking to move the ball with Heisman Trophy hopeful C.J. Stroud, who just looked absolutely amazing the last 2 weeks. I mean, against Purdue and against Michigan State, 11 touchdowns, darn near 800 yards passing to zero interceptions. I mean, that game was over in the first half when they wound up playing it against Michigan State last week. And then you got a Wolverines bunch, of which a lot of their games have not been over in the first half because this is not a team that they're looking to air it out too much. But you've got to give them credit for how they've been able to play just some smash-mouth football. They've really brought back the good ground game as well. So that has been very good to see. You've got Mr. Riddick, who's been able to do a great job, or you've got Haskins, who's been doing a great job out there in the ground game for this Michigan team. He's been able to give the team a little bit over 1,000 yards this season. I think they call themselves like wind and fire or something like that when it comes to the tandem that Michigan has in the backfield. But both of these guys have been absolutely terrific, as Blake Corum has been able to give you right around 800 yards. He's been able to rack up 10 touchdowns as well. So both of these guys have been superb. And then you got Cade McNamara. He's just done what Michigan has needed him to do. Not a guy that's going to go out there and is going to air it out too much. Not a guy that is going to go and try to create something that isn't there. He's just done a good job of being able to find his couple of wide receivers. Cornelius Johnson has really been a little bit more of the deep threat for the team. But with McNamara, you'll just notice it. He typically drops back and he throws it, I would say, about 25-ish times per game. He just winds up taking a bunch of checkdowns. Not a guy that's going to just wind up ripping it too much. But with that said, he's done exactly what's been asked of him. He has made sure to cut down on the mistakes. He has zero interceptions over the last 3 weeks. Really, the only time that Michigan wound up losing that game against Michigan State, he was a little bit inaccurate. He wound up having an interception in that game. And just as Cade McNamara just manages the game, this is a bunch in which they're able to be at their best. And I think that that's exactly what Michigan is going to look to do. They're going to look to grind it out. I think that they're going to try to keep things on the ground as much as humanly possible. You've got an Ohio State team that they have been just doing a great job when it comes to their offense. But what gets overlooked with Ohio State is that they've got one of the better rush defenses in all of college football as well. They've actually been a little bit vulnerable through the air, but I think a lot of the product of that is just because the teams that they wind up going up against, they find themselves down very early, and you know what? It becomes, well, we've got to scrap the fact that we have a ground game. We have to wind up airing it out. I'm looking at you, Michigan State, last week. But when it comes to this Ohio State team as well, Travion Henderson, someone that you can't sleep on as well. He's been tremendous on the ground, 7.5 yards per carry, 14 touchdowns. So he certainly has been able to get it done. Even when you've had guys like Master Teague and company wind up getting carries along with Williams, these guys have been able to perform as well. With Williams, he's been used in small doses, but whenever he's been used very effectively. Ohio State is just a very masterful offense in general. You've got a tremendous defense in Michigan. With that, I do think that it's a little bit easier to slow down a high-powered offense than it is to lining up just kicking up a game in general as well. It's one of those theories when it comes to college basketball, to use a little bit of a relatable term. When I take a look at a game between a very fast-paced offense versus a very tough defense, I always think that it's a little bit easier to slow down the fast team than it is to speed up the slow team. I think the same sort of holds true when it comes to college football. So when I take a look at this total, I think that the move is to the under. The move to the under is actually the right one. So I take a look at this 64.5 that is right now out there, and I lean to the under. We're seeing a couple straight 65s as well. 65 is even better, but even at 64.5, do like an under. But when it comes to Michigan, certainly want to be getting the hook on there, but I think that they're going to be able to cover this game now. It has been a case of which Jim Harbaugh has been completely walloped whenever he's went up against Ohio State. There has been no success whatsoever for him, but I think that he's going to be able to say in this one. I don't think that Michigan minds being able to pull it out outright, but I think that we're finally going to be getting a good matchup between the team up north and the Ohio State Buckeyes. So I take a look at this spot, and I am going to be taking a look at the points here with Michigan, and I think that's going to be a tad bit of a lower scoring game as well. So that'll be certainly a big one when we wind up opening things up. And when it comes to the Big Ten in general, you've just had an intriguing season in general when it comes to these teams, because got a Big Ten that obviously it winds up being capped off by this. You wind up seeing a game that I've said it on this show a couple times, and I'll say it again. The Nebraska versus Iowa line was the most strange I've ever seen in the history of college football. And college football is always known for having very strange lines. Fortunately, Iowa was able to get to the window thanks to that big fourth quarter. But that was one that was very strange. And what else has been very strange? Being able to gauge the Wisconsin Badgers as you've got the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. And Wisconsin is finding themselves as a touchdown favorite against Minnesota. And this is a total of which, boy, is it a low one. We're finding it in some spots as low as a 39 at this point. And my goodness, it certainly has not necessarily been a great year for the Wisconsin offense. Wisconsin defense is back and it is in full force. But I think this is a little bit too low. I mean, I recognize that Wisconsin has been able to cash for you some unders in some, shall we say, grimy games, but I did take a look at the Wisconsin Badgers. Graham Mertz has been much more efficient for this team. He wound up beginning of the year with 2 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Ever since then, he's been able to flip it around. 7 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in his last few games, so he's been able to rein it in a little bit more there. And then you take a look at what the freshman has been able to do, and that'd be Braylon Allen. He wound up stepping in, and he's been able to do a solid job because he wound up seeing Chez Malusi wind up suffering a season-ending injury a few weeks ago. And ever since then, Allen, who was getting quite a few carries to begin with, has really been able to step in. He's been able to really give this Badgers team quite a bit of something. You've got a Wisconsin team that's doing a terrific job on the ground. And then you've got a Minnesota team that, on defense, they certainly have been hit or miss, to say the least. We all go back to the Bowling Green game that they wound up playing earlier in the year, and that was just sad, to say the least, when you wind up losing as a 4-touchdown favorite on your home field. That's not something that is great. But when it comes to Minnesota, they've got one of the better ground defenses when it comes to the Big Ten. And you just take a look at Wisconsin. I believe that they are number one in all of college football when it comes to being able to bottle up the ground. And when it comes to Minnesota, it's not necessarily a team that is prolific in the pass game. Tanner Morgan has been giving you 9 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. You take a look at him recently, and what has been good for him is that he has been cutting down on the turnovers. When they wound up taking that loss to Illinois, I put that on him. He wound up having 2 interceptions in that game. He did not wind up playing his best ever since then. The loss against Iowa, but in close fashion, he looked better there. And then the win against Indiana, pair of touchdowns, wound up not throwing an interception. I think that's all about what he doesn't do. Turn the ball over. Those are spread killers. Those are game killers. Those are total killers. So those are just very massive. Now, Wisconsin is a team that they do a good job of being able to come up with turnovers as well. But I do think that Morgan is going to be able to lock it in. I think that he's going to do a good job of realizing he can't turn the ball over. Kai Thomas, I think, is going to have a heck of a day on the ground trying to get past this Wisconsin Badgers defense, as he's rushed for 105-plus yards in 4 of the last 5 weeks. But I mentioned it with the Badgers. They're giving up right around 64.5 yards on the ground per week. It's been absolutely incredible to watch this Wisconsin Badgers defense. I think that they're going to be able to do a good job of being able to bottle him up. I think that it turns into a case in which Minnesota's going to have to go aerial. And I do think that the Badgers are going to be able to, they themselves, get a little bit of something going on offense. So I take a look at this total. I don't think that it's necessarily going to be a game in which you wind up seeing it like 35 to 28 or anything like that. But With that said, I think that 39 is just a tad bit too low here. I'm taking a look at the Badgers laying 7. I just think that the Badgers are in very good form. Ever since Malusi wound up going down, the understudies for the Wisconsin Badgers, they've been able to step up. Graham Mertz not turning the ball over as much, I think, has been very beneficial as well. So I do take a look at the Badgers in this spot, and I take a look at an over on what is just one of the lower totals that you're going to find on this college football Saturday. You've got an interesting game between Penn State and Michigan State as well. When it comes to Michigan State, they are coming off of what was just an absolutely terrible loss last week against Ohio State. They've got one of the worst pass defenses that you are ever going to find. And I take a look at this total at 51.5, and I just don't think that either team is necessarily going to be able to stop the other. You've got a Michigan State team that they're giving up 340 yards through the air, and you've got a Penn State team that they're giving up right around 131.5 yards on the ground as well. As we know with Michigan State, oh yeah, they've got that guy that prior to last week, it looked like he might be contending for the Heisman Trophy in Kenneth Walker III. Meanwhile, on the flip side, it's not like Sean Clifford is necessarily the world's most prolific passer, but you've noticed that whenever he's been off the field for this Penn State team, things have went bad. Whenever he's been out there, things have went very well for him. I do think that Penn State is going to be able to move the ball through the air. I do think that you're going to see Michigan State do a good job on the ground. Now, when it comes to the side, I would be taking a look at Michigan State before anything else. Them being a home underdog here, it does appeal to me. I'd be taking a look at the money line, but where I really think the value here is taking the over, because both teams are going to be able to exploit the other's weaknesses. And we're just getting started taking a look at this college football Saturday. Coming up next, we're going to turn our attention a little bit more to the Big 12, as you've got a good game involving Texas Tech that is going to be going down, and so much more. So that is going to be on the other side right here on the Greg Peterson Experience, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We've got for you the new episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, as it features the analysis of Kentucky Derby future wager with Horse Racing Nation's Mark Midland. Trainer Brian Lynch discusses his 2-year-old Derby prospect Classic Causeway in this Saturday's Kentucky's Jockey Club Series Stakes at Churchill Downs. Las Vegas handicapper Richard Eng is going to be offering his picks for graded stakes this holiday weekend as well. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Google Play, Spotify, or Stitcher, to be able to hear the podcast a day early, or visit vsin.com/podcast right now to be able to download it. And the Rod Flatter Racing Pod, that is sponsored by First Bet. As we're back here in Las Vegas, it is the Greg Peterson Experience coming at you, more specifically from Circa, the tremendous sportsbook and resort out here. And we are just getting started when it comes to taking a look at college football for what is going to be a absolutely tremendous Saturday, a college football rivalry Saturday. Going to be hitting on some college basketball as things go along as well, but we've got to be hitting on a game that is going to be going out there in the great state of Texas, as you've got a top 10 ranked Baylor Bears team, and they're going to be taking on Texas Tech. As of right now, you're finding Baylor as a 2-touchdown favorite, laying 14 points. Total's game is 52. Now, we're seeing with Baylor, a lot of these 14s, they do have juice. Seeing a couple straight 14.5s out there as well, so you want to be shopping around accordingly. But I think it's really intriguing what we've seen out of Texas Tech in recent years, because this is a Texas Tech team that they have shown their warts on defense recently, but they've been a little bit improved when it comes to that. And well, the offense, it's not what it once was. You just take a look at them getting shut out last week against Oklahoma State. That's something that you just never thought that you'd wind up seeing. Now, Harry Columbia has been dealing with a little bit of an injury. He's been held out the last few weeks, so that's been a little bit of an issue for the team. Meanwhile, you just take a look at the way that Baylor is rolling right now, and it has been superb. You've got on the ground someone that's got 1,249 yards in Abram Smith. Smith wound up being held down a little bit last week against Kansas State, but prior to that, 125-plus yards in each of the previous 4 weeks. I do think that he's going to be able to have himself a big week against a Texas Tech ground game that they've been giving it up on the ground. They are giving up right around 142 yards on the ground and through the air as well. Texas Tech certainly has been a little bit of a sieve in that respect as well. Now with Baylor, not necessarily a team that is going to light it up through the air, but Gary Bohannon, he's got a very good skill set. I like the way that he's been able to cut down on the turnovers recently as well. That game against Kansas State, not throwing an interception was big, because in the previous weeks, he had been throwing quite a few picks. That game against Texas, in which wound up getting a little bit dicey. Wound up having a pair of picks in that one in the game against Oklahoma. He did wind up having an interception, but he was certainly able to redeem himself throughout the game. And when it comes to what you're going to be able to get on him with regards to the ground game as well, 9 rushing touchdowns. So he certainly has been able to do it all for this Baylor Bears team. Then you take a look at Texas Tech on the flip side, and it just feels like it's a little bit of a rudderless team right now. They certainly have been dealing with their ailments when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, and it's probably going to be a spot in which you're going to need the ground game of Texas Tech to be able to keep them in it, and I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to do so with Texas Tech. Certainly having their issues with regards to being able to air out the ball leaves it a little bit of a tougher spot. Now, when it comes to total, if anything, I'd be looking at the 52 under. You just have a guy in Dave Aranda who is just at his core a defense-oriented guy, was the defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, did a terrific job while he was at LSU. Now he's gotten a shot at a head coach, and I think that he's proving a lot of people that he's not just worthy of being a coach, but he's actually a very good coach. I feel like he was slept upon for a very long time, so it's very good that Baylor gave him a shot, and he's been able to do all that he's been able to. So I take a look at Baylor, willing to lay the 2 touchdowns here. When it comes to total, not as much of a lean here, but if I'd be looking at anything, I'd be taking a look at the 52 under. And as we know, out there in the Big 12, things have gotten a little bit more haywire because you did wind up seeing Oklahoma wind up dropping that game, ironically enough, to Baylor. But when it comes to this college football Saturday, we've got a few big ones that are going to be going out there in the Big 12. We just wound up hitting on one of them. The other one, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. When it comes to West Virginia versus Kansas, not necessarily as good of one to say the least, but this is the one that you want to be watching as you got a pair of top 10 teams. You got to figure that both of these teams are going to be up against it trying to get into the college football playoff, but it certainly is going to be a case of loser leaves town. And when it comes to Oklahoma, you're finding them as a 4.5-point underdog with your total at 49.5. Not very often that you find Oklahoma as an underdog in a game that isn't in the college football playoff. And when it comes to Oklahoma, it's just been so fascinating what you've been seeing with regards to this team, because you've been playing musical quarterbacks, and I don't think that that is any way that you want to be running a team, whether it be college or pro, because you went to Caleb Williams, then you wind up going to Spencer Rattler, then you wind up going back to Williams, and then you wind up going to Rattler, and then Mario Williams might wind up getting a couple of throws at the wide receiver spot. So I mean, it's not been good there, but you take a look at Oklahoma, where their bread is going to be buttered, is giving the ball to Kennedy Brooks. Kennedy Brooks has been superb for this team. He wound up having a nice performance last week against Iowa State. They only gave it to him 17 times, but he made the most of it with 115 yards. He has been the main constant of this Oklahoma offense, and the guys that are receiving the ball have been able to do a good job. Guys like Marvin Mims, Michael Woods, I mean, all these guys, they're able to take the top off of defense. So you certainly have the weapons for Oklahoma. And when it comes to Oklahoma, as we know, defense has never been their forte, but they have been a tad bit better recently. But I do take a look at Oklahoma State. They are coming off of a complete shutout of Texas Tech. This bunch has looked very good. Mike Gundy has been able to do an amazing job with regards to the team. And this might be the best opportunity that Oklahoma State winds up having of being able to make the college football playoffs. So I do think that he certainly has that in the back of his mind. But when I take a look at this Cowboys team, I do think that they're going to be able to do a good job of being able to move the ball on what I just said, a not-so-great Oklahoma defense. And it's not like Oklahoma State necessarily does one thing great, but it's the fact that they're very well-rounded. I do like what you're able to get in the ground game for this team with Jaylen Warren. He's been able to rack up 10 touchdowns thus far. In that game against Texas Tech, he didn't even wind up having one of his best games, 37 yards. He's only broken 100 yards just once in the last 5 weeks, but it's been a little bit of a more by-committee approach when it comes to Oklahoma State. And then you got Spencer Sanders. Sanders has been doing a good job of just not turning the ball over himself. One interception in the last 5 weeks is a big reason why this Oklahoma State team has been as successful as they are. He's not going to go out there and put up big numbers, but he just knows that all he needs to do is put his guys in a very good position. When it comes to this total at 49.5, I just have a tough time taking anything below, I'll call it 56, with regards to Oklahoma under, unless if it's a very, very big matchup, just because with Oklahoma, we know about this team just being able to explode at any time. And when it comes to the defense, we know about that situation as well. But when it comes to Oklahoma State, I do think that they're going to be able to do a very good job of being able to bottle up the ground game. They've been one of the best teams in all of college football at being able to take away the rush attack, as they're giving up right around 82.5 yards per game. So I do think that that's going to be very good for Oklahoma State. And it's very strange to see Oklahoma State the favorite in this game, but I think that they should be able to win this game by a touchdown. I do think that Oklahoma State gets it done. I think that this Oklahoma team, they've just went to the well one too many times on playing musical quarterbacks. I think that Oklahoma State is just one of the more stout defenses that we're able to find in all of college football. Very strange to say that about a Big 12 team, but I think Oklahoma State gets it done. I think that they wind up keeping their college football playoff hopes alive. So I'm taking a look at them. The other game out there in the Big 12 involves Kansas. And I will give a shout-out to Lance Leipold. I've mentioned it on the network a couple times, but this guy wound up beginning at D3 UW-Whitewater. I was actually a student at UW-Oshkosh at the time because that is a D3 university. UW-Oshkosh and UW-Whitewater, where he was coaching, big-time rivals when it comes to D3 football. He wound up having a win percentage of like 93%. The fact that Kansas was able to take down Texas, the fact that they've been able to play some of these games close, you give them all the kudos in the world. The guy is literally trying to climb what is the Mount Everest of college football, and he's been able to do a quality job. I want to see what winds up happening with regards to recruiting and things like this, because I actually think that he's doing an okay job when it comes to Kansas. I don't think that he's going to be able to do what Mangino wound up doing a couple years ago, but I think that he deserves a little bit of credit for the job that he winds up doing. With that said, we're going to be moving on to a little bit of a bigger game. How about if we go Georgia Tech? You've got a couple of these games involving SEC and ACC schools. When it comes to rivalry week, obviously, you've got the famous Clemson versus South Carolina game that's going to be coming up as well. But when it comes to Georgia, this team has been so dominant all season long, and now you're finding them as a 35-point favorite with a total of 54.5. What this says is that they think that the final score is essentially going to be 45-10. If it winds up being that or higher, you wind up being able to hit the over. If it winds up being lower than that, you wind up hitting the under. So, I mean, that's the way that bookmakers are looking at this right now. And I do think that there might be a little bit of value here on the under. When it comes to Georgia Tech, it's a team that has been completely bludgeoned on the ground. They're giving up 180 yards on the ground. That has been far from terrific. They are a 3-8 team, but also, I don't know if Georgia winds up giving up any points in this game. You just take a look at the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. They've been in transition ever since they wound up moving away from the triple option. Now you've got Jeff Sims at quarterback. Has not necessarily been the world's most efficient quarterback, as he's thrown at least one interception in each out of the last 5 weeks. So that has not been great. When your lone win is against Duke, you know that things are not necessarily going well for you. I mean, even take a look at that game against Virginia Tech. That was a little bit of a lower scoring game as well. I think that it's going to be really hard for Georgia Tech to be able to find any way to get anything going against Georgia. And for Georgia, I mean, regardless of who's been out there at quarterback, they've been able to do their thing. I think that they're going to be able to rack up a bunch of yards against Georgia Tech, but I think that's a spot in which I give the deficit of the doubt to Georgia Tech being able to do much. I take a look at the under, and I just love taking a look at this college football card, and we're going to continue on with that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We've got a lot of tournament action when it comes to college basketball this week. All these games are being played in these random locations, and now is the best time to be able to get your copy of our annual betting guide for just $10. This year's guide has everything that you need to bet on all the games all season long. You get odds, trends, power rankings, and analysis for every single team. I give a little betting nugget on all 358 D1 teams. Matt Humans and Tim Murray, they provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, player awards. List goes on and on. Sign up now and get your copy for just $9.99. That is at VSiN.com/subscribe, as we're back here in Las Vegas, Nevada, more specifically Circa. It is the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and I have no fear. All throughout the day, we're going to have you guys covered from wall to wall when it comes to this college football Saturday. A little bit of a college basketball Saturday as well. In the final segment, going to give you guys some college basketball picks, a couple games that are a little bit more off the beaten path, a couple things that I do like, so have no fear there, but have no fear as well, as I have went 30 minutes into the show, or into this hour, I should say, 2 hours and 30 minutes into the show, and I have yet to talk about the Iron Bowl, which means that I think that it's in my contract that I should do so right about now. We've got Auburn versus Alabama. It's going to be a big one out there in the SEC, and as of right now, you're finding a big spread on this one, as Alabama is finding themselves anywhere between a 20.5, couple spots, we're seeing a couple 21s pop, but we're mostly seeing 20.5 here with Alabama. And when it comes to the Crimson Tide, certainly do think that they're going to be able to dominate this game. You've got an Auburn team that Bo Nix is out for the season, so that winds up putting a big giant monkey wrench into things as he wound up having surgery to undergo his broken ankle. So that means that this is an Auburn offense that is in all sorts of disarray. You saw it last week against South Carolina. They wound up taking the loss on the road. It was a game that was completely but ugly. You wound up having a total in that game that was right around 45, and it didn't even approach it. For Auburn, they're probably going to be looking to try to take as much pressure as humanly possible off of just the passing game in general, because it's a little bit of a tough situation when you wind up having Finley come in there. TJ Finley actually didn't wind up throwing an interception in the game, so I'll give him a little bit of credit there, but I think that he's going to be up against it, trying to go up against an Alabama team that they're just in general very solid. Obviously, the offense is now ahead of the defense a little bit more, and you got to feel like Alabama's quarterback, Bryce Young, has everything in the world to play for. He knows that he needs a big performance if he wants to take the Heisman Trophy away from C.J. Stroud. This is a game that year in and year out, it has helped Alabama players be able to ascend in the Heisman Trophy race. And, I mean, Bryce Young has been absolutely magnificent. 559 yards last week against Arkansas. I believe that that is second in SEC history, as you see it right now when it comes to the Heisman Trophy odds. I mean, it's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and then from there, Matt Corral is snuck in there at 22-1, but does anyone really think that Matt Corral is going to be able to take it away from Young or Stroud? I certainly don't think so, but when it comes to Bryce Young, he's just been so laser efficient. You take a look at him over the last 5 weeks, and this is just absolutely insane. He has thrown for, I'm just trying to make sure that I've got the math correct, 18 touchdowns and no interceptions. Yeah, I would say that he's been doing a pretty solid job there, at least 270 yards in all five of those games as well. And then you've got a ground game with Robinson, who's been able to rack up darn near 5 yards a carry. He's been able to give you 14 touchdowns. He's been doing an absolutely tremendous job. And then you just take a look at Auburn, and you're just going to need to find any way whatsoever to be able to take the pressure off, to not put the ball in the air. Tank Briggsby has been able to do a solid job. He's been able to give this team darn near 5 yards to carry himself, so he's been able to do a good job there, 10 touchdowns. Heck, even in that game against South Carolina, 22 carries, 164. So when it comes to this total, I just can't have enough faith in Auburn being able to score a touchdown or two through the air to be able to take it over. But I think that Alabama should take Auburn to the woodshed. I think that they know that they want to be able to get Bryce Young that award. I think that they know as well, if they wind up having a little bit of a lackluster performance, it's not necessarily what they want going into what they hope to be is a college football playoff, and what they hope to be is an SEC championship game as well. So I take a look at Auburn, even getting 20.5 points here, just not enough for me. I'm willing to lay it here with Alabama. I think that they should be able to roll. I think that they should be able to roll very easily in this game. You've got a game of, shall we say, dysfunction as well. That's going to be involving another ACC versus an SEC one. You've got that with Georgia Tech versus Georgia. You've obviously got that with South Carolina and Clemson as well. But the Florida State game, I mean, it is intriguing for a lot of the wrong reasons. Florida wound up firing Dan Mullen just a few days ago. Dan Mullen, someone that, well, he wound up having actually a very good run when it came to Florida. Just one bad year, and that wound up costing him. But this is also a Florida team that they wound up celebrating after they gave up 52 points to Samford. Not Stanford, but Samford. And then you take a look at Florida State, and they've played better football recently. They wind up getting a win against Miami. They go on the road and then knock off Boston College. That game against Clemson, they should have covered if it wasn't for pitchy woo-woo. And then you've got the NC State game in which they were in it throughout. They wind up losing that game by 2 touchdowns. But at the very least, this is a Florida State team that is showing a little bit of a pulse. Meanwhile, Florida State, you got to feel like they're going to try to put a little bit of a rubber stamp on their season, be able to make the insert your random bowl here game. But when it comes to this Florida team, Emory Jones has been intriguing to say the least, because he wound up getting benched a few weeks ago. Now he's back in there as the starting quarterback of this team. And the numbers have been there when it comes to the turnovers for him, as he's thrown 10 interceptions. He's had a couple fumbles as well. Guy that's able to give you versatility, no question, but there's also a little bit of a case in which the entire offense just winds up running through him. He's right now the team's leading rusher as well. And then with Florida State, at the very least, you've got a little bit more balance with this team. They've been able to do a good job on the ground with Jashaun Corbin, being able to do a good job of being able to just give this team some chunk yardage. He always seems to break one off in nearly every game. So I think that that's something that you're able to look at with Florida State. And with Florida State, I felt like they got a little bit unlucky towards the beginning part of the season. You saw a lot of fight in the team, even going back to week one when they were playing against Notre Dame. It sounded like they were getting bludgeoned in a lot of these games. Out of the Jacksonville State game, that was certainly a bad look. But this is a team that they're now 5-2 in their last seven games after they wound up going on that four-game losing streak to begin the year. So they've been able to build some confidence now. A lot of these games have been against, shall we say, all-match competition, like the win against UMass. They do wind up, though, having on their docket a road win against North Carolina as well, which I do think really speaks to the fortitude of this team. Jordan Travis has been playing musical chairs a little bit with Mackenzie Milton. You've had a lot of injuries when it comes to the passing game of this team, but ever since Jordan Travis has really been able to take over this role a little bit more full-time in recent weeks, he's been very efficient. I think that that's going to be the key in this game, because I think that Florida is going to wind up shooting themselves in the foot with committing a couple turnovers. Meanwhile, if you could just have Mr. Travis do what he's done the last few weeks, not turn the ball over, and in the last five games has not thrown an interception, I think that's the key for Florida State. When it comes to Florida, I just don't know what to be able to make out of this total, because you wind up seeing them give up 70 points, or they wound up giving up north of 50 points while they scored 70 against Sam Amford. Meanwhile, you wound up having the game last week against Missouri in which they couldn't get a lot going. But I do think that there's a lot of value here on a Florida State team that is much improved from where they were just a few weeks ago. And I think that Florida State winds up being able to win this game outright. They come in just with better momentum in general. Florida has had all sorts of disarray with the coaching firing this week. So I take a look at Florida State. I do think that there's a little bit of value here on the money line, getting that right around plus 130, maybe a tad bit more, maybe a tad bit less, depending on where you shop. But I like what I'm seeing out of Florida State, and I don't like what I'm seeing out of Florida right now. I do like what I'm seeing in this game as well. You've got Texas A&M and LSU. You're going to be finding LSU as a 6.5-point underdog, and I do think that there's some value here with this underdog as well. Now, with Texas A&M, they certainly have been able to play some very solid football recently. They might have taken down Prairie View A&M, but, I mean, let's call it what it is. It is Prairie View A&M, and I recognize that LSU certainly has not been in the world's greatest recent form, but I do think that LSU is going to be able to provide a little bit of resistance. We've seen the defense be able to step up for this team. They have now given up 31 points or fewer in each of the last 4 weeks. Doesn't sound like much, but when that involves Ole Miss, Alabama, and Arkansas, that is certainly something that you're able to hang your hat on a little bit more. And when it comes to this LSU team, they've been able to do a good job on the ground all season long. Max Johnson, as we know, he has been able to light it up through the air. Things have wound up waning on him a little bit with regards to pass yards, especially when he's faced off against SEC play, but he's been able to do a good job being able to limit the turnovers recently. Meanwhile, you take a look at Texas A&M. I do think that they've got one of the best running backs in all of college football in Isaiah Spiller. He's been able to rack up darn near 1,000 yards, but he's also a guy that has been held down a little bit in some spots as well. He wound up having just only a few carries in general in that Prairie View game. You can't take anything from it because they wound up putting him on the bench relatively early. That game was over before it wound up starting, but I do think that this is an LSU defense that after they were just so bad at the beginning of the year, they're starting to take some strides forward. You got a Texas A&M bunch that Calzada has been relatively solid at the quarterback spot, but at the same time, what he does is commit quite a few turnovers. You take out that Prairie View A&M game, in the last four games, he has thrown four interceptions. It's a big reason why they were unable to pull out that game against Ole Miss. And I do think that in LSU defense that was much maligned at the beginning of the year but is starting to gain a little bit of momentum, it's going to be able to pick them off a time or two, and that'll keep LSU in the game. Don't want to take them outright, but getting 6.5 here at home, I think, is a relatively good spot. And what else is always good? Being able to take a look at some college basketball. Coming up next, going to give you guys some best bets. Going to take a look at the college basketball betting card for this Saturday, as it is the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Seen Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit at the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry up, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift. That's at VSiN.com/subscribe. As it is the final segment of the Greg Peterson Experience right here on the Sports Betting Network, but I have no fear. Here at VSiN, we've got you covered wall to wall all day long. It's going to be a great college football Saturday as you've got all these rivalry games that are going to be going down. Lots of college football playoff implications with these. Cincinnati was able to take care of business. Will the other teams that are lurking in the wings be able to do so? You've obviously got the Michigan versus the Ohio State University game that we took a look at in the first segment. I like the points with Michigan. Don't know if they'll be able to pull it off outright, but I think that it'll be a little bit different for Jim Harbaugh and company in this one. But when it comes to all that, also I have to be living up to my namesake of hoops, and I've got a couple games I like for this college basketball Saturday. Now, wound up filing these in a couple hours ago for the graphics, so you might see a little bit of movement when it comes to some of these games, but Air Force versus Idaho State is one that really stands out to me. They wound up opening up Air Force as a 2-point favorite, and this is an Idaho State team that they just aren't good right now. I mean, I take a look at Air Force, and certainly Air Force leaves a little bit of something to be desired, but you've got some young guys that have been able to step up. The big thing with Air Force is that a lot of people just have no idea what to be able to make out of them just because you don't hear of a lot of these guys that wind up going into the Air Force Academy because you're thinking, oh, someone that's going to be serving our country and everything like that, when they actually are a program that has had some success in the past. Now, it's been quite a while for a, let's call it what it is, dormant Air Force team. They wound up being able to make the 2016 NCAA tournament as they wound up getting that at-large, I think it was 13 seed, but this low of number is just a little bit befuddling to me. You've got an Idaho State team that you don't have a single guy that's able to give you more than 5.5 rebounds per game. Now, with Air Force, their main bugaboo is the fact that they don't pull in a lot of rebounds as well, but you've got a guy in A.J. Walker that is a career 39% three-point shooter who's able to lead the way for this team. When it comes to Air Force, you've got a little bit more balanced scoring as well. Now, when it comes to turnovers on a per-possession basis, that has been a little bit unsightly, but this is an Air Force bunch that they're able to put it in from three-point range, and that's able to keep them live in a lot of these games. You take a look at Air Force, they're shooting as a collective about 34.5% from three-point range. Now, facilitation, you need to get a little bit more out of some of these guys that are looking to dole out the ball, but I will say Ethan Taylor has been able to come along for the ride for this team. 10.5 points, just above 5.5 rebounds per game, 3 assists, and they've been forcing a couple more steals as well. He's been able to give the team a little bit over 2 per contest. Joseph Octave has been able to chip in their 10 points per game. He's been a little bit of a surprise. Not a team that necessarily has ideal depth, but they're a team that they now have an 8-man rotation as well. And when it comes to Idaho State, Tariq Cool along with Robert Ford III, both of these guys give you right around 10 to 11 points per game, but with this Idaho State team, it's been a little bit strange that you just haven't been able to get a lot out of the transfers as well. They wound up having one very notable one come in because he actually began his career at Idaho. That'd be Jared Rodriguez. Rodriguez, the last 2 years, was at San Diego, couldn't necessarily find his niche there. He's given the team only 3 points per game. It has not been good for him ever since he wound up going to the other Idaho school. Braden Parker has been able to chip in there a little bit of something as well with right around 10 points per game, but take a look at this Idaho State team. Not necessarily impressed by them. Now, the one thing that they've got going for them is that it's very strange to play at Air Force just because it is at a little bit more elevation. And Idaho State actually has one of the more elevated home courts in all of college basketball. So that's something that they're going to be unbothered by. But what I am bothered by is the fact that this is an Idaho State team that when it comes to defensive rebounds per game, they rank 350th out of 358 D1 teams. And I think that that's really going to hurt them here. I think that it's a spot in which Air Force is going to be able to get it done against a Idaho State team that they really rely upon the three, and they rank 313th of the country when it comes to three-point shooting percentage. I see a little bit of a differential when it comes to this total as well. SIU Edwardsville versus Creighton. They wound up setting this total on the open right around a 138.5, and I just don't think that this really makes a lot of sense in general. Now, Creighton is not necessarily the offensive team that they have been in the past, but still, when you're setting sub-140 totals with Creighton, I just think that it's a little bit too low. We've seen Ryan Nemmer, the freshman, come in and do a very solid job when it comes to this team. With Ryan Nemmer, he is pumping in there right around 14.5 points per game, has been able to do a good job with his facilitation as well. And then you take a look at the flip side for the SIU Edwardsville team. They've got the Wright brothers in there, but they've been playing a little bit of an Ole style of defense, so it's not necessarily been too terrific if you've been a fan of theirs. And it's holding steady. It's anywhere between 138 and 130.5. I thought for sure we would see a little bit of a line move here, but nope. They've just left it for the time being. So that is absolutely terrific. You've got yourself an Edwardsville team that they themselves not necessarily going to be banging in there too much from three-point range, but we did see with Edwardsville as well. This is a team that in the beginning of the season, their first game against Marquette, that was a very high-scoring game, so they are prone to those. With Crane, they are doing a little bit of a better job on the glass. They bring in Keyshawn Fiesel. He winds up coming in from McNeese State. This is someone that is able to give you a couple rebounds. They've also got a guy in Ryan Kelkbrenner, who is 7'1". He's been able to do a good job on the glass, but I do think that both of these teams are going to let it fly from three-point range. I think they're going to get a little bit more of an up-tempo game, so I take a look at the over here. What I wanted writing up for the New York Post is another total, but we're going to be going with the under. BYU versus Utah. Total is 137. BYU is a one-point favorite. When it comes to both of these teams, they rank in the top 30 with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis. Both of these teams are outside the top 225 when it comes to possessions per game. When it comes to BYU, they're allowing opponents in D1 games to shoot right around 20% for three. They're in the top three in all of college basketball, three-point shooting percentage defense. Meanwhile, Utah, they rank in the top 10 with regards to a rebound rate. Braden Carlson, seven-footer, shooting right around 50% for three-point range for Utah. But when it comes to both of these teams, they both shoot right in the pocket about 32% for three, despite the fact that they've got a couple prolific scores. The one on the side of BYU is Alex Barcelo. Since the beginning of the 2019-20 season, shoots right around 48% for three. He's been able to give the team 18 points per game. But when it comes to this BYU team as well, despite the fact that they've been dealing with a couple of injuries, they've been able to do a great job down low. And you've got a Utah team that they are dealing with a couple of moving parts. You've had Marco Anthony, who was actually on the championship team of Virginia during the 2019 campaign. He has followed the coach of Craig Smith, who wound up coaching at Utah State, came over to Utah in the offseason. He's been able to do a nice job, chipping in their 6.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, a 6'5", just do anything. He's that guy that you wind up having in the pickup game, and he's like, I'll guard this guy. He doesn't care, and I absolutely love that part of him. But these are two very gritty teams, two teams that have been able to do a tremendous job on defense. I think that you're going to see a defensive battle here, so take a look at the under. I wound up being burnt by Mississippi State a couple days ago, but you know what? We're going to ride them once again against Richmond. It's a Richmond bunch in which they want to bring back darn near everyone from last year, but there are just some times in college basketball. We saw this with the Wisconsin Badgers last year, in which these guys, they just wind up reaching their ceiling. If you want to take a look at upside teams, you want to take a look at teams that wound up having a bunch of freshmen. That freshman to sophomore leap seems to be the biggest one in college basketball. The junior to senior leap doesn't necessarily seem to be as prevalent. And with Richmond, they're just now playing a lot of defense at this point. I think that Garrison Brooks is going to have a big day down low. You may recall while he was at North Carolina prior to COVID-19 shutting down that 2019-20 season. I mean, he was averaging like 25 points, 10 rebounds per game for them towards back half of that season. You have a little bit more health when it comes to the backcourt as well. Iverson Molnar has been struggling a little bit when it comes to three-point shooting, but now you've got Rocket Watts in the fold a little bit more. I think that that's going to be able to help them out moving forward. And I like what you've gotten out of Shaquille Moore, the transfer from NC State. 13 points. He's been able to shoot from three-point range in the pocket of about 44%, so he's been able to do a nice job there. And you take a look at Tolu Smith coming back in the fold. He had 10 points in his first action when he wound up playing a couple days ago. I think that that's going to be very beneficial. And we'll stay out there for the Bahamas for one more game. Maryland versus Louisville. Maryland wound up opening up a one-point favorite. And we've seen a little bit of a flipper-rooney here. As I'm seeing it right now, you're able to get Maryland as a one-point underdog. And I think that this is the wrong line. Keep in mind, even though Louisville was able to have a very impressive performance against Mississippi State, Mississippi State wound up shooting in the first half of that game like 19%. There's no way that they are going to be able to have that sort of cluster luck once again when it comes to this Maryland team. Got a guy in Eric Ayala. He's able to give you 14 points per game when it comes to Maryland as well. What I like for this bunch is that you've got Kudus Wahab, who I think is going to be able to do a good job down low against Malik Williams. And then you got Samuel Williamson, who for this Louisville team has been able to chip in their 9 points, right around 5.5 rebounds per game. But when it comes to Louisville, you've got one double-digit score. That'd be three-point shooting specialist and Noah Locke winds up coming in from Florida. Career 40% three-point shooter. That's all. But outside of him, you don't have a lot of outside shooting. And that's the way that you're able to hurt Maryland. Maryland is overall a good defensive team. They do have a little bit of a deficiency when it comes to being able to guard the three-point arc. But when it comes to this Maryland team as well, what I really like about this bunch is that they do a good job of just being able to know their role. They do a good job of being able to not necessarily get outside themselves. They're not a team that they're going to generate a lot of steals, but they play good, tough man-to-man defense. You've got quite a few guys that are able to give you quite a few rebounds. Dante Scott has really been able to help out with that. He's been able to give the team right around 8 rebounds per game as a 6'7" combo player last year. Wound up shooting 40% from three-point range. I think that Maryland is just a better team in this spot. They've had a little bit of bad luck to begin the year. I think that that's going to turn around. Louisville had some good luck against Mississippi State. That is going to revert itself as well. As this has been the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSiN. We've got you covered all throughout the day on what is going to be a rambunctious day of sports betting, from college football and everything in between. So keep it right here. This is the Sports Betting Network, and this is VSiN.